This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:08. You're listening to the evening edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And it's durian season in more than one way. There's been a lot of coverage recently of conflicts between durian farmers in Raub and the Pahang State authorities.
So let's take it back to Monday, where it was reported that 18 individuals had been detained for trespassing into the Batu Talam Permanent Forest Reserve in Raub. And essentially from there, things escalated, right? Because the farmers were reported in the first place to have provoked the Forestry Department enforcement officers while they were clearing the trees. And the department has said that it lodged police reports. It's provided video recordings of the incident to the police. And the court ordered all 18 of the farmers, including a 17-year-old teenager, to be remanded for 2 days in order to facilitate the department's investigations into the alleged trespassing offence. And where it stands now, aside from some rather public scuffles in front of a police station, the farmers are also now looking to take further legal action against the state authorities.
So this is coming against some fairly complex issues. And just to be clear that even the legal aspect of this is split into several things. There are questions of land issues. There are also questions of their remand itself and that report of them trespassing. So where all of this is coming from is that essentially the Pahang state government has accused the cultivators or these farmers of conducting illegal farming activities. And because the state government has leased that land to a firm that's planning its own durian plantation, they're essentially evicting these farmers. So that firm is actually a joint venture between the state government and a company that's linked to Pahang royalty. Now, the farmers themselves have actually applied for a stay of this act of this eviction action. And there have been multiple challenges with getting that executed. And so they claim that they still don't technically have to vacate the land yet.
I'm not sure if it was clear enough. In case it is not, I just wanted to highlight that, again, what we're talking about here is centered around clearing durian trees in order to plant durian trees. I think that I just wanted to bring that up partly because it sounds kind of ludicrous, and yet it's so important because we have to look at the profitability of durian as a crop, right? As we know, that's why we've been seeing all these, that's why there have been worries around things like deforestation for durian plantations. And so this, I think, aside from the issue of what it means to own your land, what it means to be able to plant trees that will bring you profit, and where those boundaries are, aside from that, it's also, I think, just the latest in what is likely to be a series of issues to do with the planting of durian because of how profitable it is and because of the land it requires.
And that contrast between exactly what you said, the individual or small owner type of farmer versus a larger company and where their rights lie and how this plays out when it becomes a criminal action. Because essentially, and we see this over and over, right, when it comes to people who are talking about issues of land or their own livelihoods, you see them coming up against these legal structures. And often it feels like it's an impossible situation to be in. So essentially at the moment, they've obtained an interim stay from the Court of Appeal, and that happened early this year to be able to continue cultivating on their land. So they say that they shouldn't have had their trees cut down and cleared in the first place. And several representatives from the DAP were actually present with the farmers. So this has become beyond just a farmer's dispute, and it's turned into a sort of a standoff almost. And the people involved include Raub MP Tengku Zulpuri Puji, Bentong MP Wong Tak, Sungai Pelik Assemblyperson Ronnie Liu, Trust Assemblyperson Chow Yu Hui, as well as Bilut Assemblyperson Lee Chin Chen. That's where we're at. I think the reason it's caught so many people's imagination is those multiple factors we mentioned. Firstly, it's durians. But secondly, it's another example of, I think, the struggle of individuals or the struggle of
the small guy.
Yeah. And I don't know, it's playing out in a very public way.
I really think it is very much individuals versus those in power kind of situation, a big guy versus little guy thing. And especially with things like farming, with things like durian, but also just the ability to create profit, right? Or to own your land. These are the kinds of very sticky questions that arise with stories like this.
So that's what we're going to be looking at today. And shortly, we will be speaking to the lawyer representing those farmers for that remand process. That's Colin Arvin Andrew. But let us know, do you support the farmers here? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It is 5:15. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the dispute between a group of Raub durian farmers and the Pahang State authorities over the clearing of their land. So we'd like to hear from you. Do you support the farmers in this issue? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now joined by criminal lawyer Colin Arvin Andrew, who is representing those durian farmers over the question of their detainment. Colin, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So, as I mentioned, you are representing those farmers for being detained because of allegedly trespassing onto the Batu Talam Permanent Forest Reserve. Could you walk us through the details of this case?
All right. Thanks. Thanks for having me here today. Just to give you a brief background. So essentially what has happened was that on the 4th of July, there were a group of 18 durian farmers who were arrested allegedly for an offence of entering into this forest without a permit. So therefore, they were being investigated under Section 47 of the Forestry Act 1984. Now, what is important to note that out of these 18 farmers, one of them was actually a child. When I say child, I'm referring to a person who is below the age of 18 within the definition of our Child Act. So in this case, that one of the individuals is actually 17 years of age. Now, of course, where they have arrested this group of farmers, total of 18 of them, they were then brought to the remand court in Raub the next day. But I must also inform you that apart from on Section 47, in which the Forestry Department are investigating the case, they were also initially arrested by the police under Section 186 of the Penal Code for obstructing the police in carrying out their duties. But interestingly, although Section 186 is a far more serious offence as compared to Section 47, the police had deemed it fit to release them on a police bail on the very same day. Now, unfortunately, as far as the Forestry Department are concerned, they did not want to also release them on police bail, but brought them to court the next morning for a remand order. And so the next day, on the 5th of July, the Forestry Department investigating officer had applied for a four-day remand before the court. And one of the reasons, or rather some of the reasons that were forwarded by the investigating officer in asking for a four-day remand detention period is basically to determine the status of the area in which the individuals are alleged to have trespassed. That's one of the reasons. And the other reason are basically to prevent them from disturbing the ongoing operations conducted by the Forestry Department at the respective area. So obviously, we have put up some arguments as to why the detention was not necessary. One of the reasons we have, in fact, forwarded to the court was based on a Court of Appeal order. This was dated on the 5th of January, which essentially is an interim stay order allowing them to continue to enter and remain at the respected, or rather the relevant areas. Of course, the authorities are disputing this, but I must point out that that in respect of this order, I am made to understand that there was a map, a proposed map concerning the affected areas of the durian farmers which were exhibited in the civil suit leading up to the Court of Appeal order, which says that they are allowed to continue to remain in those areas. And the order further states that the respondents, which of course consists of the Forestry Department as well, are prohibited from clearing the land, especially the durian trees. Now, unfortunately, we have seen, in fact, it was also reported in the news that a number of this area where the trees have been cleared. So that's pretty much the situation. As far as the remand proceedings are concerned, the court had granted a two-day remand. And so based on that decision by the court, we had immediately proceeded to file a revision application at the Temerloh High Court to challenge this two-day detention that was granted by the court. Now, thankfully, the authorities then, in this regard would be the Forest Department, they had then informed us that they will be releasing this 18 individuals on police bail. So obviously the next day then they were released at the IPD Rao, and all of them has since been released on police bail. So that's about the brief background on the criminal proceedings as far as it concerns the 18 durian farmers.
So of course the Pahang government claims that the farmers are operating illegally. Could you explain perhaps why the situation isn't as clear-cut or as simple as that statement makes it sound?
Yeah, so I think the situation here has been confused, or rather there has been a grey area as far as the a Court of Appeal order is concerned, because of course in this regard, the 18 durian farmers, or rather as they call them, the illegal farmers, they have no permit. Of course, I mean to understand that they have been applying for permits for many years, but they have been unsuccessful. Then when there was a land eviction notice that was issued to these farmers, and so they've challenged it in the High Court. Initially it was dismissed, but the matter was then appealed upon, which resulted in the stay order at the Court of Appeal. So the issue here, I would think, why there is some confusion is because of the uncertainty as to the specific area in which the order covers. So as far as these durian farmers are concerned, of course they were basing it on the Court of Appeal order, which says that they have the right to continue to remain in their farms to collect their harvest and all that. But of course the authorities are saying otherwise. So I think that there is some uncertainty in the Court of Appeal order, which has resulted in this arrest and detention of the individuals.
Colin, let's look at the people who are involved in all of this, right? What is the impact of all of this on the livelihoods of these farmers and their community?
Of course, if you're talking about the livelihood, these are farmers who have been there for decades. You know, they have been cultivating the land, they have been collecting their harvest and all that. So obviously, this would have a massive impact in their livelihood. Because obviously, if they are not allowed to continue to carry out the activities, which has been they have been doing for many years, then, you know, obviously they will be losing a major source of their income. So that would have a direct impact on their livelihoods.
Ultimately, what outcome are the farmers hoping for from this?
Obviously, I would think that the farmers are trying to look at a win-win situation. I would hope that some form of a discussion can be had between the respective parties so that an amicable solution can be reached. The matters are still pending in the court. So we just have to wait for the outcome of the court proceedings as well for now. But I remain hopeful that some discussions can be made between the respective parties so that a win-win situation, a solution can be reached between all parties.
What are the challenges involved when it comes to handling a case like this?
When we're talking about criminal proceedings, let me just give you a situation in this regard. Yeah? We are talking about Section 47. Of course, I must also mention that one of the points that we have raised in the court in regards to Section 47 is that Section 47, to my mind, is an offence which you cannot arrest without a warrant. And why I say that is because Section 47 provides a maximum imprisonment of not more than 3 years. So if you look at the Criminal Procedure Code in the first schedule, it says that any offences other than the Penal Code, if it's below 3 years, a maximum imprisonment, then you must have a warrant before you can arrest. Of course, this arrest was made without warrant. And obviously, in this regard, the investigating officer had also argued that, no, we have the right to arrest them without a warrant because Section 88 of the Forestry Act says that we can. But mind you, when we're talking about Section 88, it is limited in its scope. That means it is only in a situation where a person can arrest without a warrant if, for example, the suspect or the individual does not or refuse to furnish their names and addresses. Or, for example, if the individuals have given false names and addresses. Then in those kind of limited scenarios, you can arrest without a warrant. But this is not the case in this regard. And of course, that was also one of the points that we have argued. In fact, we have put in those arguments in our revision application as well. But because they have already been released on police bail, and then we decided that it was not necessary to proceed further with the revision application at the time when they are released. But of course, we are still waiting for instructions to see if there would be perhaps a possible suit for false imprisonment that can be initiated in this regard. We are still taking instructions on that. But what I wanted to also highlight is simply on Section 83, Capital A of the Child Act. As I mentioned earlier on, you would note that there was among the individuals, there was a child. And that person is actually 17 years of age. And so obviously, when we're talking about Section 83A, there are clear provisions that is provided under the Child Act, which says that one cannot be handcuffed if you're a child, and one must be separated from the adults. You know, I think the child must be separated from the adults. And unfortunately, this was not complied with. In fact, I would like to urge the authorities as well, not only in this case, in any other cases involving children, that, you know, we must comply strictly because these are mandatory provisions that has been included in the Child Act. So I just hope that in future, any arrest that is made upon a child, you know, no handcuffs are used because obviously there are reasons for inserting this provision. We want to prevent stigmatization. So when a child has been already handcuffed and they are placed together with other adults, then your stigmatization is already there. So this is something that I just wish to urge all the authorities who are carrying out enforcement, you know, upon child to adhere to strictly.
Colin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was criminal lawyer Colin Arvin Andrew, who is representing the 18 farmers, durian farmers in Raub, who are currently involved in a dispute with the Pahang state authorities. So let us know, do you support the farmers? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.